From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever the case may be, wherever you are. All 25 time zones covered like a warm blanket by this program, Midnight in the Desert. My name is Art Bell. Great to be here. The rules of the program are simple. No bad language. We have youngsters listening. Because these topics are of interest to people of all ages. And only one call per show. If you call twice, we send a very high voltage down the line, and then you're disabled for a week. Well, okay. I was not here last night, and there's a really good reason for that. I'm going to explain what's been going on as best I can. I guess first I should tell you all, I thought it was... slightly common knowledge, but apparently not. I do my show from not the main house, as I used to do years ago, for a very good reason, or reasons. One is I have an 8-year-old daughter, who's got her first crush, by the way. Hope she didn't hear that, or she'll be jumping up and down. And her room is directly adjacent to my ham radio shack, which is where I used to do the radio program from. Now, instead, faced with wanting to do a program and not having, you know, I can't very well have 100 decibels blasting out right next to where my daughter is. So I have moved the studio to we have a guest house, or what we call the guest house. Now it is just the studio house. All right, so I do it from our guest house, which is adjacent to our main house. And like our main house, is fully fenced. You know, everything is fenced in. Don't fence me in, I don't mind. Really, I don't. So here's the deal. Somebody or somebodies don't want me on the air. It's really as simple as that. Here's what's happened here since October 21st. I think most of you know about this. At about 10:30 or so at night during my show on October 21st, a person was observed by a neighbor of mine directly in front of my studio with a rifle, and he fired off several fast shots, fast rounds, either at or near my residence. Now, the next day, of course, we searched for brass, and none was recovered. We looked for holes in the house and didn't find any. So, you know, it was like a warning, I guess. A full police report was filed. Many of my neighbors actually heard the shots. Only one of my neighbors actually saw the man with the rifle and was interviewed by the police and able to describe a dark car to the police, which drove quickly away after firing the shots. Anyway, the police spent a lot of time interviewing everybody involved. Interestingly, I was on the air at the time and didn't even hear the shots. That's what I mean by, you know, I like my everything loud. So I didn't even hear them. Everybody else did. Then on November 18th, you don't know about this, at about 8:50 p.m., that would be, actually, that's incorrect. It would be 7:50 p.m. That was just before I would leave the house to come to the studio. A call was made to my home, and a man's voice told me that if I went on the air that night, both myself and my family would be killed. But I did, in fact, go on the air that night. I was so angry. It was a blocked number, of course. AT&T tells me they cannot recover it. And even if they could, it's probably some phony number. But it was quite a serious call. But I was angry. That night, I was just so angry I couldn't see straight, and so I went on the air. That was the 18th of November. Now, fast forward to the 23rd of November. The other night, the prior night, at 8:35 p.m., always just before the show, right? We've got security lights all around both houses here, the main house and the guest house. Well, a security light in the rear of my guest house here went on, and there's no reason for it to go on. So I grabbed a gun and went to the rear door, and this all happened very quickly. I observed a man crouch down near my studio window, but I couldn't make him out. Unfortunately, you see, I've got like these double spotlights that shine out at 45-degree angles, and when I opened the rear door, the spotlights are right next to the rear door. So I was blinded by that light. My night vision shot all to hell. I think there are 150-watt floods aiming in two different directions, right? That particular light. Well, it was right in my eye, directly at eye level. As I looked down the side of the house, I could see this guy crouched by my window, and I leveled the gun. You know, he took off immediately. And he was gone very quickly around the west side of the house, out toward the BLM land. But I've got to tell you, it was that close. I mean, when I hold my fingers together, it was that close. You know, normally when you hold a gun, you're taught not to put your finger on the trigger, right? You have it next to the trigger guard, always. I was at the point where I had my finger on the trigger, and, you know, with the Glock, with one in the chamber, that was just a tiny squeeze, and off she'd go, and I might or might not have hit anything, including this jerk. So I was really, 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 really shaken up. So what's been going on here is a kind of a personal, it's terrorism on a personal level, which has really caused a lot of grief for everybody involved. My wife and child have slept on the floor for three separate nights with all this going on. And obviously it makes doing a talk show really difficult. And then moreover, well, let's go back to Michio Kaku. I was really, really, really looking forward to that show. But because this occurred, you know, and again, a police report was done. They came out, looked for footprints and all that kind of stuff. I was so shaken that I don't even remember opening the show with Michio. I was like on automatic or something, and not doing very well at that. So there have been three major events that have occurred that, you know, have shaken everybody up. And it does make it, you know, I tell you, in the first 20 minutes, I don't even know what I said. I was told by my producer that I said somebody was on the property, and I don't remember saying that at all. I said, no, I didn't. And I had to go back to the replay to even hear that. So there you go. I was beyond automatic, I guess, not even really knowing what I was saying. I was so shaken. And then the next day, you know, I had a long talk with myself, sort of. You know, I knew. I mean, it was close as you can get. So he obviously made it to the west side of the house where the BLM, open BLM land is, and took off. But I came that close to shooting somebody, and the next day I realized that. I thought, oh, God, what if I shot this guy? So, you know, the implications of that are many. I mean, you could conceivably be charged, certainly, or maybe not if he had a gun. I don't know what he had. I didn't see. But I got close. I didn't do it, but I got close. And so the next day it hit me like a bomb. You know, I almost shot at somebody. I can't tell you how close it was. you know, after these first two events that have occurred, somebody with a rifle outside my house, someone telling me they're going to kill me and my family, you know, at that moment, you see somebody inside a fenced, marked area, and it is marked. You know, it's no trespassing all around and pretty decent fence, as much as they will allow here. You know, your expectation is that this person sneaking up on you is wishing you ill in some way or another. So that is a little digest of what's been going on. Nevertheless, here I am tonight, and we'll do a show. Believe me, we will do a show. The network is closed for Thanksgiving. That doesn't mean you won't hear anything. There'll be replays, I think, for myself and other shows on the network. So we'll sort of be here, but we will be enjoying Thanksgiving with our families. Anyway, you know, when you have your wife and child on the floor for three nights, it gets your attention, and it certainly got mine. So that, I hope that explains it. I hope that ends it. The security here is now fit for a king, or maybe a dictator. And anybody would be ill-advised to further continue this, whatever it is. We do actually have some people in mind who might do something like this. But without real evidence of it, obviously, we're not going to make any allegations. So, you know, life is interesting. Somehow it's always been interesting like this for me. Call that interesting. Okay, so news of the day. And there's a lot. Putin is sending these very high-class, high-tech air defense missiles to Syria. What will he do with them? Well, no doubt he'll shoot down anything that he likes that doesn't move, particularly, I suppose, if it's Turkish. In a move raising the potential threat of a Russian-NATO conflict, Russia said Wednesday it will deploy long-range air defense missiles to its base in Syria and destroy any target that may threaten its warplanes following the downing of a Russian military jet by Turkey. Now, I've been saying this now for weeks. I can't tell you how damn dangerous this is. You've got Russian jets in the air. You've got a NATO country right there, Turkey. And remember, we're part of NATO. If NATO gets into a conflict with Russia, we are in a conflict with Russia. Understand? We are duty-bound and treaty-bound to defend Turkey if need be. So, with Russian planes all over Syria and apparently parts of Turkey, and American planes all over, and the rebels fighting Assad, and ISIS fighting virtually everybody, it is such a disaster just waiting for that match to be lit off. You know, and that could be the beginning of World War III. Don't kid yourself. If we get into a conflict, we meaning NATO, get into a conflict with Russia, then you can erase everything since the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we're right back in it again. The fallout from Paris continues. The occupancy rates at Paris hotels have plunged by more than 30% in the days since the attacks. So they're being hurt economically in Paris. There is no question about it. All right, so small groups of demonstrators are again gathering. I don't know if they're small at this hour. I would think that over the weekend, the protests in Chicago are going to grow and grow and grow. I'm sure that most of you who watch or pay attention to the news have seen this young boy who is carrying a small knife get gunned down by the police. 17-year-old black kid. The cop who did it has been charged with first-degree murder. All of this happened a year ago. A year ago, and there's very clear video of the incident. of the shooting, and they pumped 16 bullets. This cop pumped 16 bullets into this kid. This has to stop. You know, it has to stop. I don't know what would cause that officer, other than, you know, a murderer's heart, to do what he did. The kid was actually moving down the street, probably up to no good of some sort, but he was moving down the street, and he was actually moving away from the officers, the way I saw it, when the shooting began. So, it's got to stop, you know, or something awful is going to happen in our own country. There's enough awfulness already out there. Now I'm going to give you a reason to go to my website, artbell.com. Easy to get to, artbell.com. There's a lot of interesting news up there. The first successful rocket return landing. Now, this is something that they've been trying again and again and again, and look who did it. A company called Blue Origin has put a rocket into space. They made 329,839 feet. And then the rocket turned around, came back to Earth, and gently landed on its own butt. So, as many attempts that have been made of this, you can see it up there on my website, it has finally been done. So, kind of like in the old science fiction movies where rockets did return and gently landed, they've done it. It has now been done. And then there's something else right below that, all of this below my guest information tonight. The rover on Mars has found, it's found a dome. You know, there's no other way to describe what's in this photograph other than a dome. It's a dome, a damn dome. So go up there, take a look at it yourself. There's no way on God's green earth or God's red Mars that this dome could have just sprouted out of the ground naturally. There's nothing about it that looks natural. Take a good look. Let me know what you think. Some scientists speculating that Tabby's star could be comets, and it could be. And a lot of other stories down below that, I mean, just story after story that will be of interest to you at artbell.com. And all that, again, just down below tonight's guest info. Now, let's talk about tonight's guest, because it's going to be interesting. R. Scott Limriel is a researcher and author who is very passionate about revealing hidden truth here on Earth and throughout the galactic multidimensional universe. That's very ambitious indeed. In the past, Scott directed a weekly TV show, Exploring Your Spiritual Life. That was in the Seattle area of Washington. Topics explored: out-of-body travel, past life recall, dream travel, journeys along the past time track, journeys into parallel timelines and higher dimensions. Sounds like what we talk about here. Now, 40 years of direct exploration and extraterrestrial contact, that's the keyword phrase here, extraterrestrial contact, inspired the writing of the Say Rays Agenda. He talks to a group called the Say Rays. In its final fourth edition, it contains a section that will assist the readers in safely exploring deliberately hidden truth about who they are and where they really came from. So, coming up in just a moment, R. Scott Limriel. And we're going to talk about the Say Rays, what they have to say about everything, including all of us. You're listening to Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell, raging in the night.
night in the desert doesn't screen calls. We trust you. But remember, the NSA... Well, you know. To call the show, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Wonder if they're going to be listening tonight. I imagine they listen virtually every night. Well, all right. Scott, welcome to the program.
My pleasure, Art. It's been a long circle since you first started 20 years ago, and how apropos that I would be on tonight after what you just said to everyone.
Yeah, it's been an interesting odyssey. My career seems to have been filled with them. Anyway, it's great to have you, Scott, and you are a pretty unusual individual. You are in touch, I guess that's the right way to put it, with the Say Rays. So the first thing I want to ask is, how did this begin? I mean, how did you first become in touch with another race?
Should I go back to childhood experiences and tell you three of them?
You can sort of lead into it however you want, whatever the right way to describe this is.
Okay, just to get a little background so that you, Art, and your listeners have a little understanding of what brought me to this point.
Good.
Of writing the Say Rays Agenda and getting on radio and doing what I'm doing now. 40 years in the making, so it was certainly not overnight.
Right.
I had to think back to when I was about 5 years old in Salt Lake City. And I was, in fact, I was three, I think. I was walking up to my parents' brick house, and I had an experience of suddenly leaving my body and rising above it as a fully mature adult being.
Wow.
Which was, you know, quite unusual for someone that's a child.
Oh, absolutely. This occurred while you were walking?
Yes.
Okay.
At dusk. And I was above the body, fully awakened for a brief time, and I looked up and I saw a sphere of energy, a transparent golden sphere of energy, and in it were mathematical equations and formulas that were really otherworldly, but I understood them. And I looked up at the stars and I saw the star patterns and I knew instantly where I was. And the only thing I could think of is, what am I doing on Earth?
You understood these at 3 years of age.
Yes.
So it was
my body is a fully mature being.
Okay. Can you go back right now? Can you go back right now and remember that and remember what they meant?
Yes, they had to do with star patterns, positions, travel between parallel dimensions, star charts across the Milky Way galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy. They were very complicated. Today I can't pull them in and actually work with them.
Right.
I'm kind of on a different mission than that right now. But this was to kind of wake me up and get me started in a certain direction, which says that something was done to me to put me on this planet, unconscious, unaware of everything I'd ever done before. And that's been done to everybody on this planet. We'll get into that. Here I was looking at this, and my parents started having an argument. This is for just a normal light argument, no heavy thing at all. And I could see their electromagnetic fields around their body, or what people call their auras, and there was a red energy barrier between them and sparks flying off, which were very painful to me.
Yes. I can imagine, like when doves cry, only you could see it. So whatever it was that affected you, and that was the very first effect you ever felt from all of this, right, when you were three? Okay.
Right.
And so you could look at your parents, you could see the angry aura.
Exactly. And it wasn't a violent argument, but, you know, maybe to a being like me, any argument would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it propelled me into the body, and that experience shut down, but it wasn't forgotten. Then we'll go forward some years to when I was living in Washington State near Mount Rainier. This would have been around 1960.
Okay,
that far back, at a time when, you know, extraterrestrial craft were being seen all over the planet, especially around that mountain. I think there was a Piper Cub pilot there that saw them and photographed some in a group or a squadron. He coined the phrase flying saucer.
I actually remember those sightings, yes.
I was there. I mean, that was where I was living, up in Cherry Crest, up above Bellevue, when it was mostly all forest. And you could see Mount Rainier in the distance on a clear day very, very well. And when I was living up there, I decided I wanted to find out what beer tasted like, because my parents drank, like most everybody did back then.
Now, how old were you? I'm sorry, how old at this point?
I would be around 11.
11, okay.
Maybe 12, somewhere in there.
Yep.
So I snuck into the refrigerator and took one of my dad's beers. When I was 3 in the morning, snuck out the window, walked across the dew-laden grass up to a narrow little roadway that ran between the houses up there, forests everywhere. But this was a moonless, clear, beautiful, star-filled sky. And I got up on the roadway and popped this can of beer to take my first sip. The next thing I knew, I was lying flat on my back, spread eagle, with this can of beer upright, unspilled in my hand. And I was looking at what I estimate today would have been maybe 30 feet across in diameter.
All right, Scott. Hold it right there. We're at a break because I used up all the time.
That's
okay. Anyway, it's a good place to break. I looked up and I saw. We'll be right back. Did you see the lights?
On the wild side of midnight, from the kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
That's the way to do it. But don't call yet. We've got a big story to unreel here for you. Scott Lemriol is my guest, and he is in communication with an extraterrestrial group called the Say Rays. Now, this all began when he was young indeed, 3 years of age, and then, his first experience with a beer was ruined, I guess. Again, that was at 11 or 12 or something like that, the age of trouble, really. When he grabbed a beer, went off to, I guess, gulp it down, but continue now, Scott.
My pleasure. Yeah, I opened that can of beer, popped it, never got to taste it. I found myself lying on my back, spread eagle, with the can open, unspilled in my left hand. And I was looking up at the craft, about 30 feet in diameter, pulsating from blue to white light. There was no sound.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely an extraterrestrial craft. And the odd thing was, this was not like one of the abduction experiences that so many people have had problems with.
Right.
I had no fear whatsoever. And there was a telepathic conversation. It's not psychic. There's a very distinct difference between a telepathic conversation or a communication and a psychic one.
Okay, I would ask why you had no fear, because that's not, you know, that's an abnormal reaction. The average person seeing something hovering in the air like a spacecraft would totally freak out. So there must have been some reason that your brain was quieted, that you were calmed.
I had help.
The beer?
I had help. I began to receive a telepathic conversation from a human male aboard that craft.
All right. Okay.
Human. I knew it. I just knew it. There wasn't any question about it, and it was benevolent. There was no sinister motive. And there was a stream of communication, wonderful information, holographic, I would have to say, for maybe 15 minutes. And then it was done. And the craft pulsated from blue to white light faster and faster and faster until it became white light and it shot up into space.
All right, let's go back to the holographic presentation. So you could actually see and understand what was being presented to you.
I could, on a certain level of my being. Remember, I'm a 12-year-old, 11-and-a-half-year-old boy.
Right.
So, obviously, the normal perceptions of a being operating a young body were suspended. Pretty much like it was when I was 3.
Right.
In Salt Lake City. Same thing. No fear.
Well, we do know that in the abduction world, and that's, I understand not what you're saying has happened to you, but in the abduction world, people are followed throughout their lives. In fact, even their offspring then many, many times are also abducted and so forth. So it doesn't surprise me you had a second experience. I do wonder if you're able to describe what information was presented to you.
Yeah, this had to do with who I am and who I was before I was placed on this earth, unconscious of all that I once knew.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a shock to me, I can tell you. I got up. I looked at this beer. I dumped it in the dirt, put the can in the garbage, and went to sleep. Never told a soul. My parents never knew. About a week later, I was coming home from a choir practice. And this bus would drive a couple miles up the hill to a little wooden bus stop shed.
I'm sorry to stop you, but you said you dumped the beer.
Yep.
And went home and went to sleep, or
put the can in the garbage. This was just on the road right in front of my house.
Okay, so went back into the house, got in bed, and went to sleep.
Correct.
Wow. All right, continue.
Never told a soul. It was probably a good thing. Can you imagine me telling somebody that at that age back then?
No.
It wouldn't have been a good thing.
No.
And I somehow had the wisdom, and I don't say I earned it, but let's just say it was imparted to me to be quiet about this. I never had any terrorizing dreams or the typical symptoms that an abducted person from a little gray or something has had.
Sure.
The nightmares stuff or the traumas or any of that. No, none of that. Which was probably pretty unusual for the time. And about a week later, I'm coming home from a choir practice, this bus would drive a couple miles up the hill. I was the last customer on the bus to get off from a school choir practice, and it let me off, and I watched the bus go down the hill a couple miles and disappear in the trees. I took one step, and my head got pulled up, not by a frightening force, just gently. And I was looking up at two groups of saucer-shaped craft, 15 in each one in triangular formation, maybe at about 5,000 feet.
Okay.
It's the only way I could perceive it. And I had the same perception of a telepathic communication, even a download of something, going on between the same human male that I experienced a week before.
Right.
They broke apart and did an acrobatics thing, something like you'd see in a movie, and did all kinds of things for me, then regrouped and just tipped towards me, like they were acknowledging me, and then shot up into space.
All right. 5,000 feet is pretty high. So one would imagine if there was anybody else around, they probably would have seen these craft. Yes?
You would think so, but there was nobody around, oddly enough. No cars, no people, nothing. I mean, I was the only one on that road.
Well, okay, but at 5,000 feet, the line of sight would be pretty long. So somebody might have seen it somewhere else. And you also mentioned you were coming back from choir practice, right?
Correct.
So you were in a religious family?
No, not really. Choir practice was for regular elementary school, or, you know, at 11, 12 years old, regular school.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't a religious thing or anything like that.
Okay.
It was just learning to sing in a choir, that's all, because I wanted to do it.
All right. Again,
today, so.
What would you consider the totality of the message that you got from them?
For me, it really had to do with what I would be doing later on in life, much later on in life, and some assurance about that and not to talk about it.
Okay.
So that was the thing, and I never did. I mean, my parents never knew any of this was taking place.
All right. Do you remember earlier you said that they showed you what you were before you were on this earth?
Uh-huh.
What were you?
I was an ambassador between many world systems, and my expertise was keeping people from going to war. And I was very good at it.
Boy, we could sure use you now.
Well, what you said earlier, Art, on the show, was you can't imagine how apropos and how timing is so precise that I'm on the show. Because before this show is over, I want to share with you and your listeners not only a way you can immediately protect yourself, but connect with and gain the protection you need to continue doing your work.
Okay.
It's a pretty big statement.
It is.
Okay, so we'll put that aside for now.
So
we jump ahead to when I'm about 21.
All right.
A lot of things happen, but I don't want to get into all those experiences. It's significant, and I think you're going to really appreciate this one.
Sure.
I'll share this with you. I was traveling with a man and his wife and their new baby on kind of a spiritual journey just around the western states. And part of the journey, we were driving across the Salt Lake City desert at about 3 in the morning, and we were on the Salt Flats, on the highway across the Salt Flats, no moon, beautiful star-filled sky. And they were listening to a country western station. They liked country music, and they were listening to it. The next thing I know, I got this communication from, I also knew it was a human male, extraterrestrial, that he wanted to show me something. Next thing I know, the radio station is blurring across the dial, and it tunes in to a commander of a nearby airbase ordering 2 Black Hawk helicopters to go out and check something they picked up on radar.
Really?
We could hear it. This was interesting. So I was instructed to pull the car over the road, so I had them do that. And they said, just turn everything off and look out the windshield. This guy introduced himself to me. His name was Manka. And he said, I want you to see something. And we could hear this higher officer ordering these guys, he was quite upset, to go out and find whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
2 Black Hawk helicopters, completely noiseless, no lights, flew right over the top of our car, over the desert. And the next thing I noticed, we looked up, and there was a blinding flash, spherical flash of cobalt blue light,
right,
that lit up the whole desert. And it shot straight into the ground as if this thing was, you know, going to crash. And we could hear this officer telling these guys to find out what that was or else. They got over the area and they reported back that there was nothing on radar, no wreckage, nothing.
Hmm.
So when they flew away, we started the car and went on about our merry business.
Okay.
Those people know about that experience. I have lost touch with them. I don't know where they are. That was when I was 21, decades ago. So
maybe they'll hear you on a, you know, on a radio program and get in touch.
Exactly. Well, you know, from that period forward, I went into searching diligently to find ways and methods, technology, spirituality, to begin to get a handle on why these things were happening.
Oh, I can understand why you got launched on that journey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it was a benevolent thing. There was none of this diabolical stuff in my case, fortunately. You know, you say, well, okay, it's still secretive, and that's true in the sense that, you know, I don't really know what's going on, and beings are in touch with me. They're not giving me the whole secret. But that was for my own good, really. I mean, look at the world I live on, that you live on, and who runs it, classified. So you have to be careful. So through the years, I began writing a series of books called the Parallel Time Trilogy. That's another story. We're not talking about that. And I finished those, and I went on countless journeys out of body and down the past time track to explore with friends from out of town, because they have the ability to do it. It's normal to them. To find out what truth is that's being hidden from people here from an extraterrestrial perspective, from outside this world, which I really knew was the only way I was going to find it out for myself, because, you know, classified systems classified, which means you're not going to find the smoking gun unless they want you to.
Right.
You're just not. So I began to put together the elements of an ancient history that people on Earth have been deliberately manipulated not to recall, and they should. This goes back into my discovery that no human being ever evolved on this planet to begin with, ever. Not from monkeys, not from an amoeba, from a primordial swamp. They were brought here during 50 million years when this planet was habitable by human beings after the dinosaurs were made extinct. So there's a whole hidden history that's missing from people here.
So no Adam, no Eve?
Oh, I'm not saying there wasn't an Adam or an Eve. I'm going to get into that controversy. I'm just saying that the whole story, that's such a tiny fraction of all of it.
So it might have been Adam and Eve's savory.
Correct. I mean, we're getting back into the real origins.
Yeah, in other words, what you're telling me is that the seeding of humanity here on Earth was done by these Sayrays, yes?
Originally, yes. And we'll get into that.
Okay.
In fact, we can talk about that if you want now.
Yeah. You began it, so yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay. Okay, the Sayrays and how I met them happened a few years back, 2011, really. I had already met them, but I didn't know it. I began to write the Say Raise agenda, basically to explore what happened in my childhood and all the things since and all the experiences I've had with off-world friends, but mostly benevolent extraterrestrial human beings, because there are countless worlds filled with them that people on Earth are being kept from knowing about. Many people suspect it. And I, when I was writing the book, because when I write, I see through what the pineal gland in the middle of the brain, which is really a tool that the being, soul, or what people from other worlds call the Atma, uses to see into other realities and know things for themselves. In it is a liquid, and there's rods and cones in it, like you have in your eyes, but they're tuned to precise frequencies, not for physical sight and hearing, but for seeing into other things, other places in the universe. And all human beings have this ability, when they're not being suppressed, to not remember it. People call it intuition today, but to many millions, hundreds, even billions of beings on other worlds in just one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy alone, the function of telepathy is normal. They speak with vocal cords. They live at least 1,000 years, at least, and they have photographic memories. This is normal.
Hmm.
Now, people on Earth do not consider that normal.
No.
They've been deprived their normal functioning in a very diabolical way anyway for a very long time. There has been a history about this planet that if people recalled how they got here, what they originally knew, and where their real destiny was, things would change virtually overnight. And to do that, things that have been implanted in the subconscious, what people call the subconscious, have to be neutralized or removed.
All right, I've got a question.
Yep.
So, I'm not a Bible scholar by any means, Scott, but I do seem to recall that mankind very early, had perhaps a lifespan of something near 1,000 years.
That's correct. They did.
And I'm sitting here wondering, did the Sayres, if they seeded us here, create us in their own image to begin with?
Yes. They go back many billions of years. The Sayres immortalized their physical bodies over 1 billion years ago. They are responsible. They're like the senior race behind the reptilians, the tall grays, the small grays, human beings, and every bipedal form that's spacefaring. And they were all benevolent at one time.
Okay, so you acknowledge that these other races you just mentioned that a lot of people are very familiar with are, in fact, in contact and monitoring us or doing whatever they're doing, but they're here.
Yeah, they're definitely looking over this planet right now, and in more ways than it ever existed before in history, in galactic history. And this has only started 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Because of something that changed in their consciousness out there about this planet, which hadn't occurred before. There's a treaty that goes back 500,000 years, Art, that was signed between the vast majority of benevolent races in our galaxy, and a few of the spacefaring tyrant races, imperial bloodline races.
And this treaty applies, what, to us, or it's between...
No, it involves Earth as far as the way they view it under treaty.
All right.
But it involved keeping this tyrant races from going in and raiding other worlds and taking over human beings and doing what they were doing back there. And there was a big war.
Okay.
So the last galactic war that happened in our galaxy was 500,000 years ago. It came to an end with the defeat of a reptilian race. They weren't destroyed, but it created a treaty around which many worlds that survived this great holocaust, basically it stipulated that these worlds, like Earth, could not be controlled or dominated by any one race. Earth is in the middle of that treaty. So you have good and bad, or benevolent and malevolent extraterrestrial influences here, and always have. And under that treaty, they've been allowed to have secret bases in small places on the planet, good and bad, for millions of years, for scientific research, and to bring certain beings here. Tyrant races would bring their slaves to mine and do things like that.
I wonder, so then in some way, since we are so involved in this treaty, I assume that we are special to these races. Listen, we got a break coming up, so let's keep that in mind. It's a short break, 2 minutes, and we'll be right back. Hopefully we are viewed as special, and that's why we were sort of protected in this treaty. Listen closely when you hear somebody like this. You cannot rule out the possibility that Scott is absolutely right, in which case we've both got a lot to learn.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're nothing's wrong. He's gonna drive you home tonight.
It's not radio, but it is What's Next. To cast your ray of light into the darkness, please call 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
I am reminded by somebody on the wormhole that KABC has got some big plans for Los Angeles tomorrow. Some of them involve this program. They're going to play this program, various picks of this program, but full shows, from 9 in the morning until 9 at night. So Los Angeles is in for a real treat. See how that goes down with the turkey. I think it's pretty cool, actually, all the way around, pretty cool. So enjoy it tomorrow, L.A. I almost wish I was there to hear it. Really, I do. So thank you, KABC. The Thanksgiving spectacular involving Midnight in the Desert. Just incredible stuff. All right, glad I got to say that. Scott, welcome back. And again, you know, it seems as though Earth has some kind of special place in with all these different races. I mean, to be part of this treaty, I wonder what it said with respect to us, that we should be left alone, that there should not be direct contact, or that eventually there would be, or, you know, any idea?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What?
It was stipulated that there would be no direct contact with the indigenous people who originated on other worlds and were compelled to reincarnate here on conscious life after life, procreating with certain genomes on their DNA shut down, like the one for longevity.
Uh-huh.
You know the science and you know the frequencies. The genomes and the DNA are just like switches. And if you shut down the telepathic function, we call it intuition, or if you shut down a photographic memory, people are going to be disabled considerably. Not less intelligent, just their higher functions they have a hard time accessing.
Hmm.
So that's part of it. And if you know anything about tyrants, you think of Hitler, then they're going to sign a treaty, and they're going to find every way to break that treaty just short of going to all-out war. And they've been doing that for 500,000 years. It's all coming to a head.
So how much of I so many questions. If you go back to the fact that we were seated here all that long ago, then the history that we think we do know is all wrong.
That's correct. How far back does most history you know of art go? 10,000 years, 12,000, maybe 15,000?
It gets a little foggy even there.
Yeah.
Most people have a hard time getting back, you know, a couple thousand plus years to Jesus, the time of
right.
Jesus. And then, of course, we've all seen movies with the Romans, and I suppose we've imagined cave people and so forth and so on. So that's all. At what point is it all a mess?
Well, as you know, tyrant dictatorships and rulerships have come and gone on this planet continuously as far as what people know of his history, and that isn't it. Yeah, all the way back to Lemurian Atlantis, which is Lemuria 100,000 years ago, the last cyclic polar shift of this planet, destroyed it. And so the civilizations were destroyed at different times on this planet, and the planet has had to be reseeded by different groups.
You see, now what you just said bothers me because I think, and I'm talking to people who believe that we are approaching the time of a pole shift.
That's one of the reasons I'm sharing this with you. The Say Rays Well, they certainly have shared that with me. Part of what's taking place now, despite all you see on the news and everything else, because they're not directly openly involved yet, Galactic Alliance members and other human races out there are more involved directly than the Saeres with helping to set up what's decided to be done with this planet. Very important.
Okay, do you have any information on what's involved in a pole shift? Because, all right, I've heard...
Yes.
I've heard a lot. I've heard scientists, modern scientists say, Scott, that north becomes south, south becomes north. The net result is we lose our magnetic field, we lose our protection from the sun, and things are going to be rough for a while. Now, the sun might go into a period of quiet, and we might get away with it, or we might not. But, you know, most of them don't talk about continental shifts and some of the other things that I've heard that could happen. What do you know about a pole shift, or what have you been told?
Yeah, it's a cyclic event that's happened here for a very long time,
right.
300,000 years. It's been six ice ages in 600,000 years.
Right.
From what scientists know, it's more than that. But this goes back to the destruction of a world in our solar system that people refer to as Maldek, which is now an asteroid belt circling in the orbit of a planet between Mars and Jupiter.
Okay.
That was 6 million years ago. But that affected what's happening on this planet now and affected the whole solar system. And that planet was blown apart with one device. This goes back to the nature of benevolent and malevolent extraterrestrials and their influences.
And there are both.
There are both. The predominance out in our galaxy are benevolent, spacefaring, highly evolved human beings and other bipedal races that are very kind, very spiritually advanced, and technologically advanced.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. What are the ones that we should watch out for?
Well, I think you know that well enough. The little grays and the tall whites are under the dominion of a reptilian bipedal race.
All right.
And they used them to do their dirty work to stay out of breaking the treaty and being caught red-handed, even though all their actions are being monitored and recorded around the clock.
So more or less the galactic ISIS.
Yeah, so to speak. They just want, they're not respecters of human beings. They just want property and resources. And
talented.
They believe the way to go about that is by sleight of hand, deceit, and trickery. And they're far better at it than the CIA would ever be. So, but the thing is that they have been being policed, there's no other way to put it, and they have been kept from doing what they used to do. You notice you don't hear too many abduction experiences anymore, little grays.
No, you don't.
In fact,
it's my opinion that the whole UFO sighting thing is in a decline at the moment. That may be temporary. I may be wrong about that, but it doesn't seem like, you know, I've been on the air for a lot of years, and it doesn't seem we get the same number of reports we used to.
No, and you won't, because they're being kept from doing all the diabolical stuff they were doing. What you've got left with here on Earth is a hidden government, a classified government that came into existence more officially after World War II.
By that you mean a world government?
Yes, with the establishment of the National Security Act in this country under Truman. That's where it began. Because if you think about it, if you create, not really legally, because the proper voting majority never voted on this stuff, if you create a system that only a few privileged people are allowed to know what's going on in that system, then that throws a third balance of power, the Supreme Court, completely into the toilet. It's not there because they're not allowed to look into any of that stuff.
Okay.
That's then. So he knew about extraterrestrial contacts. And then it was passed on to Eisenhower, which I know you know about this. What a lot of people don't know is that Eisenhower met with two races, two types of beings. The first one he met with were benevolent human. And they offered to change this world. But they don't force their will on people. They offered to give us the technology, spacefaring technology, and let us play among the stars. But they had one requirement, and this is true. Nuclear weapons, radioactive isotopes, are illegal outside of this planet. No one in their right mind would ever use or create anything that, if it got out of its lead container, would kill everybody. That's not the power source they use. That's not how they get around.
That's good to know. Good to
know. They do not use radioactive machinery to get around.
Okay, well then, how do they react to the fact that our planet is stock full of stocks of nuclear weapons?
Have you ever noticed, Art, that they've never, no country, not North Korea or Pakistan, has ever set out a nuclear bomb above ground? What's keeping North Korea from setting one off above ground? None of them can do it.
Nothing. Maybe poisoning their own people. You know, they don't have a lot of territory to set one off. We certainly did it.
Oh, yeah. But no one has since. For what, decades?
Decades, yes.
There's a reason for that. That goes back to the willingness of a certain benevolent races to intervene to save this planet from destroying itself. Because my direct contacts and the way I've been shown this history is that 12 different occasions occurred during the Cold War where these knuckleheads actually pushed the button to blow this place apart, nuclear war, that was classified. And all 12 times, a series of craft, usually two or three, would hover over the launch facilities here in the Soviet Union and shut down the launch computers. No talk, no conversation. They'd fly away and turn the launch computers back on with the launch mode shut down.
Okay, well, I can't verify that. I can verify that a craft definitely hovered above our facilities, nuclear facilities, as well as the Russians. I know this for sure. And I know in one case they initiated a launch sequence. In another case, they just flat shut them down. And you're telling me there were many more instances when the button, essentially...
12.
12?
Yep.
I know of one on Okinawa that most people don't know about that occurred... in concert with the Cuban Missile Crisis, but other than that, I don't know of the others.
Well, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
It's classified on the 38th level. It's as classified as the extraterrestrial issue. And this goes back to why this came about, why we're talking on this phone right now, why we have this microscopic molecular size level computer chip technology that we are working with now, cell phones and computers and all that kind of thing. The original crash in Roswell was a downed craft, but we didn't shoot it down. Our militaries did not shoot that craft down. There was little gray guys in there, and they were doing something no good, and it was shot down, but not by us.
Let me guess, the Zay-Rays?
Well, not particularly them, but the good guy Galactic Alliance members, Pleiadian maybe, but they it's better to these tyrants. They don't care if they lose a few pilots and ships. They're expendable to them. They don't care. So that was shot down. In it were fiber optic cabling inside of the interior, which is where we got fiber optics. They ran particles at very high speed to create an anti-magnetic or a gravitational field around the craft. And this computer chip, which had taken decades to reverse engineer. So we got all of that from there, and then it's jobbed out secretly to the different defense plants and corporations to see if they can make practical products for people.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of testimony from a lot of people to back you up on that.
Yep. A lot of people even know more about that than maybe I do, but I know things about how this came about that I wanted to share with you and your listeners. Yeah, more important than information is what I want to get to later with about this protection I talked about.
Yeah, it's actually kind of comforting. I mean, look at what's going on right now. Russian jets getting shot down by a NATO country. More of that possibly to come. God knows where it could go, but nowhere good. So if it got to the brink and somebody launched a nuclear something, you're saying they'd stop it.
That's right. There will not be a nuclear war on this planet. They lord that over people's heads to control them, a hidden group, that vote their own members into existence. It was created, officially got into power after World War II. Basically, it was done in order to have a government that could run things if there was a sudden nuclear attack and the president and cabinet were killed in Washington. So they created a parallel type of control system that could survive that. And then it just got manipulated and taken over. So really, it goes back to Eisenhower. The first group he met with insisted that all people on the world give up all types of nuclear weapons, radioactive isotopes, bomb-grade ore, the weapons themselves, because there absolutely is no constructive use for them. A nuclear power plant does what? Boils water to make steam to drive turbines.
Yep.
It costs one-tenth as much to drive turbines to get electricity from natural gas. One-tenth. So who's keeping that profit structure in place when one-tenth the cost could be done right now to retrofit everything in this country and run on natural gas?
Okay, well, so when they said this to the leaders who possess nuclear weapons, the leaders, Eisenhower, I guess, in this case, said what?
If you'd imagine what a five-star general, a guy like him, a good man, suddenly presented with extraterrestrials, he was scared.
Yeah, yeah.
Turned white.
That was.
And they had a good vibration, but it scared him. And that has to do with another thing we'll talk about called implants and how they work. So he told them, he says, I can't command the Soviet Union or the people not to give up all radioactive isotopes they're refining and making unstable and making bombs. And he knew he couldn't do that. So they basically said, look, we'll come back in a few years. Maybe you'll have a different heart. They left. But under treaty, and this is true, the treaty allows another group to approach Earth. They are not supposed to directly reveal themselves or intervene. So they broke the treaty to do this. But they met with Eisenhower a few months later. And those guys were guys that really scared him because they weren't human. And they were very haughty. They had very, very eloquent, long, big ego type of names, imperial type names.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, look, you can make a treaty with us to get some of our advanced extraterrestrial technology. We don't care if you give up your nuclear weapons.
Oh.
Eisenhower turned them down on the spot. He didn't like the way they felt, neither did the generals that were meeting with him. And they said, very cleverly, if you don't sign a treaty with us to get the technology that you want, now that you've met us, we'll go to the Soviet Union and we'll make a treaty with them. We'll make them the preeminent power on this planet.
Good threat.
But what Eisenhower didn't know is they were already in the Soviet Union doing the same thing with the premier at the same moment. That's how we got into this treaty with the wrong group, dealing with classifying things, keeping things classified, and making weapons based on extraterrestrial technology, a secret space program that's been going on parallel to NASA since it began.
Okay, well, then apparently, I guess that politics is the same at the galactic level.
Well, only for the tyrant races, but that's not how governments work in the benevolent races.
Okay.
They don't work like that at all. First of all, they don't have money. Money was not created on this planet. It's been created through hundreds of millions of years by tyrants to control people. It's artificial. It has no real value, as we all know. And the imperial bloodlines that are predominantly in what people know as of history here, from Rome to everything else, were minions of imperial bloodlines from other races.
Well, money has value. I've got to argue that a little bit. I mean, it buys groceries.
Oh, I don't mean that.
It buys things. It buys protection if that's what you need. It buys a lot of things. So,
no, I don't mean that it's not necessary here because that's what everybody is conditioned to accept as value.
There you have it.
I understand that, of course. It's
okay.
Practical.
Right.
I'm not saying we can do away with money. The consciousness is not high enough here to do that. But on other worlds, it's normal and they don't have it. They're not motivated that way. Can you imagine, Art, growing up on a planet as a human being, and your parents encourage you from the time you're born to leave your body at will and know how to do it? Number one.
Very rare. I would imagine it would be a lot easier to be able to leave your body if you were conditioned to do so young.
Exactly. And you're telepathic, and you have a photographic memory, and you remember your other lives in other places in the galaxy as other races and numbers of human beings and everything. And you bring that to that childhood. And your society and your culture and the kind of government you have encourage this. They encourage you to grow so that you will be inspired in some way that you're passionate about to only create with the gift of your imagination, which is a powerful gift.
It is.
Those things that will be of benevolence to your planet and all life everywhere. That's how they grow up. A person on another world that is human, that is not part of any tyrant group, has the equivalency of 7 to 10 PhDs by the time they're 10, compared to a person on Earth. But that's normal to them. And it once was normal for us. That has been taken from people here intentionally.
Because?
Well, because if you go back to the different cycles of things that have happened on this planet in its actual history, there was a nuclear war on this planet once. Destroyed most of the life. It was a long time ago. There have been battles here. There have been races that have dominated parts of the planet, but never the whole thing. And there have been battles and battles won and lost, and it goes back a long ways. This last treaty, though, where this galactic alliance defeated the a tyrant race.
Yes.
That goes back to a group that you've probably heard of, a white ring reptilian race somewhere in your travels.
Well, I've heard of course, the reptilians, white rings, I don't know.
White wings.
Wings, okay. Not particularly.
They came into this, what we call this parallel dimension from another parallel dimension. They were worse than the reptilians were, and they conquered this reptilian race here, which were vegetarian back then and quite benevolent and quite good in Galactic Alliance history at the time. They conquered a world, and this is really important, they conquered a human world during a war they started. They inspired first they got control of this reptilian race and implanted them with terrorizing subconscious images to make them be tools to go out and terrorize the universe. That's how this started. And they conquered a human world that had developed technology to keep beings from ever acquiring a subconscious mind. We're not meant to have one.
Really?
A normal human being should not have a subconscious mind at all. It means it's subconscious. You're not aware of what's going on there.
Right.
That's a problem. Tyrants love that. They can plant things in the field around the person's aura, their electromagnetic field, that are like holographic, that have terror and fear and torture, and they're artificial. And they plant them there without you being able to feel it's being done. You don't feel it. But when you try to access some of your higher faculties, these implants kick into the nervous system and affect your nervous system with two things occluded, the visual and the sound. You just feel it. This drives people away from uncovering certain things. You want to control a mass of people, that's what you do to them.
Okay. You realize, Scott, I mean, you sound very rational, and you know you're telling a very wild story that
I know
that right that tells us all the history we thought we had, we don't. That tells us that we can't.
There's just much more of it.
That we won't have a nuclear war because they won't allow it.
That's right.
And they haven't allowed it, and it's actually tried to happen a few times already.
Yep. So I'm basically here to do something bright and cheerful about the future because of what I know now that they've decided to do with this planet recently, which hadn't been done before in galactic history. That has to do with transforming this place. That goes back to something that the Sayrays, when they are, by the way, our genomes on DNA, our double-stranded DNA, are patterned after the Sayrays.
Right.
They are very tall human beings, 18, 25 feet tall.
Oh.
They're huge compared to us. But we really were brought into existence because of them. These forms that the Atmar soul gets into, they helped develop to this level. And they brought a lot of races up to spacefaring capability over a billion years ago and then vanished. They'd leave everybody on their own to work stuff out. Well, that was kind of a mistake because look what's happened. Some people chose to be tyrants. Some people went this way. There are influences that came from other parallel dimensions that invaded this territory. There's all kinds of stuff that happened. The Sayrays recently went through a consciousness transformation of their own. I don't know if you're familiar with the primary energy rays of creation, different wisdom ray and the love ray and the construction ray, the different things like that. People call them by different names.
No.
But they are energies that are used to build planets and build galaxies and that kind of thing, and to build portals or doorways between.
Is that vaguely what we call the Big Bang?
No.
No.
No. if we get into that one, we'll be here all night. No.
Well, we'll be here until tomorrow anyway.
No, I wanted to get to this stuff because this is stuff that you and all the listeners on this radio show on this planet once knew. That's a big statement. It means that they don't really know what they're supposed to know right now.
Well, I've got to tell you the truth. As I listen to what you're saying, I don't feel like I once knew it. I do. Here's what I do feel. Mm-hmm. I do feel that there is something grand that we don't know, something about our own beginnings that we have drastically wrong, that we don't understand. So, you know, I've got to allow that what you're saying could well be, because I do have that general feeling that something really big is missing from our knowledge.
And that feeling is below your subconscious. There's an energy field over that that keeps you from accessing it.
Okay.
That's all it is. But you once knew this stuff. Somewhere deep inside of you, I know for myself, I can only speak from experience, that I know human beings on this planet. Most people know way down deep. So there's something they used to know that they don't know anymore.
Well, perhaps. But remember, not everybody's had the experiences you say you have.
No, I know that. But they may have elsewhere in other lives and other worlds before they came here or before they were brought here.
I would also like to acknowledge that I kind of tend toward believing in reincarnation, and it doesn't always mean that you're reincarnated from a life that once was here on Earth. It could have been elsewhere, so that kind of makes sense to me.
Insightful, Art. You're very insightful.
Not very,
nothing
just a little.
Nothing originally evolved here. You ever notice? Yeah, you are. You ever notice how many species and insect life and mammalian life and types of human beings are on this planet?
Many, yes.
That's not normal.
No?
No. Asian. Hispanic, African-American, Caucasian. These are all indicative of races that predominate other worlds. They were brought here.
You know, that could be.
That's one thing. Dolphins and whales didn't originate here out of primordial fish. Human beings didn't evolve from fish walking on land. Human beings evolved billions of years ago out in the galaxies. They're one of the oldest races there is.
Yep, I can't rule that out either.
Especially when you think in terms of the Seyrays, because when you meet a Seyrays or you telepathically get in touch with one, and they will never invade your psyche. They don't work psychically. Telepathic communication is a direct perception of what the communication is without them invading your psyche. It's a pure form of communication between beings.
Let's talk about Seyrays for a moment so I understand something about them. You say they're very, very tall.
Very tall.
Can you describe what they look like beyond tall?
Yes, I can. I will describe the Seyrays ambassador. His name is Torellian.
All right.
He's like 20 feet tall, if he stood before you.
Right.
Their body's immortalized, which means they can present the body to you could touch, but they're not trapped in it, and they're not trapped about it. It's something they can carry around or just go across the galaxy at will, without ships or with ships, it doesn't matter. They're free from that.
Or with or without bodies.
Well, no. They have them, but they can manifest them when they need to appear for a certain thing.
Okay.
Or dematerialize them and just take off as the Atma or soul, the true being.
All right.
A normal human being has this ability also. So the Seyrays left everything alone a long time ago, brought a lot of races into existence, not just in the Milky Way, but Andromeda and many other galaxies, and vanished. They recently went through a conscious change because something appeared to them that I call a new ray or an expansion ray, an energy that helped them to understand how they should take responsibility again for some of the younger races and step in, because people down here are destroying themselves, and they've inspired the Galactic Alliance members to do this.
Scott, hold it right there. The Seys have many rays, apparently. I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert.
Midnight Matters are best handled by those that understand how to move in the darkness, like Art Bell. To call the show, please dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
Okay, Scott Lemriel is my guest. He's talking about a group, and actually extraterrestrial contact with a group called the Say Rays, and everything we thought we knew about who we are and how we got here and what's going on in the entire world beyond us apparently is wrong and has been hidden from us for reasons that I guess we will discuss. We were going to talk about a pole shift, and I do want to get back to that, but I just want to take a moment out for a couple of things. Several people have made comments with regard to my opening statements. For God's sakes, it's just a radio show. Nobody agrees with that more than me. This whole thing that's been going on can only be the agenda of a mad person or persons. And I don't use that in the angry sense. Mad, crazy. Crazy people. And again, I've mentioned to you, I think, that we have a couple of thoughts about who this could be, who could be behind this baloney. But obviously, until we know for sure, we're not going to make statements that are going to get anybody in trouble. Nevertheless, I completely agree with you. It's a radio program, for gosh sakes. Yes, it's dispensing some pretty interesting information at times, but nothing, absolutely nothing that I'm aware of. Could I have said something to make somebody angry? Maybe. And I've thought about that. Is there somebody in recent history who has reason to be angry? I've thought about that. I've thought about a lot of things, but nobody but a crazy person would endanger anybody's life over something like this. It's insanity. Complete, absolute insanity. Simple as that. Now, before we get started again with Scott, I want to mention this. These Windows 10 people are, you know, they're getting ridiculous. And I told you the little Windows 10 thing is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It has now threatened to take over my entire screen. I just glanced over at the wormhole during this last break, and this Windows 10 advertisement looks like it's demanding that I take it. Well, not quite, but it's really getting close, and it took almost the whole screen, so much so then I took a photograph of it, and I sent it to Keith, who I hope, once he gets his server rebooted, is going to put it up there so you can see it. And I'm sure many of you are seeing the same sort of thing that I'm seeing now. Come on, Microsoft. This is getting silly. Crazy. If I want Windows 10, I know where to get it. It's down on my taskbar. I can click on that. I don't need bigger and bigger and bigger, almost demands to take it. I don't know what they're doing. But it's getting so demanding that I'm beginning to really worry about Windows 10. Like, I'm going to wake up one day, and even if I've not said yes, it's going to be starting, whether I like it or not. And there have been stories that that is going on. So when that photograph gets up on the website, any moment now, I will let you know. It came right up in the middle of or covering most of my wormhole messages. So there you have it. Once again, Scott, sorry for the sidetracking there, but a couple of things to say. So welcome back. It's good to have you back. And
thank you.
A lot of things I want to understand. The treaty, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, sort of protects us. Is that fair to say?
Well, yes, to a degree. It doesn't allow the good guys to intervene past a point either. But that treaty's been broken so many times in 500,000 years isn't worth the paper it's written on.
Oh.
And that is a problem. Because if you're going to neutralize tyrant behavior in beings off-world, which is where it began.
Yes.
The real problem is off-world, not on this planet. The
right.
Influences here, the way governments work, the way this planet is because of tyrant intervention in influencing races and people here over millions of years, and genetic experimentation, all kinds of things. Shut down people, use them as slave labor force to mine space minerals and other precious commodities they want in small places like Mayan area, Mesopotamia, Samaria. The Sumerian...
You would think, Scott, that if they are that advanced, they wouldn't need slave human-type labor to do that mining for them. They would have it all taken care of, right?
Could you run that by me again, please?
Yeah, you would think that if they are that far advanced, they wouldn't need to enslave anybody to do mining labor or any other kind of labor for them.
If you know anything about royalty, they don't want to get their hands dirty.
Well, I was suggesting they're so far advanced they could just withdraw it from the earth. They need human hands to plunk it out, huh?
What they like to do.
Huh?
It's not normal. Their behavior is not normal. The people that are running this, misdirecting this world today, hidden behind the scenes, are not in control of what they're doing, Arthur. They wouldn't do it. Their human nature would determine that they would not do what they're doing. They have to be messed with, influenced without their awareness, subconsciously, to do what they're doing. And that's what's happened here. It's like making a treaty with the devil, in a way. You make a treaty to get some off-world technology in your Cold War fight with the former Soviet Union, and before you know it, you don't realize they're so much more advanced than what the CIA would be or anybody on this planet. You're outmaneuvered and outgunned before you even knew it happened to you. That's exactly what happened. And it was done breaking the treaty. So when I tell you this, I can tell you that everything they've done has been recorded and monitored. There have been many cases where they've been stopped from doing far worse things to people here than the things you know about. And this is one of the reasons, this recent changes is one of the reasons why you're not getting the abductions. And this race, this totalitarian race, used to pick people up and eat them.
Eat,
alive.
Eat them?
Eat them. I mean, it was nasty. There was this has all been stopped. And they were compelled to behave like this against their will as well, if you go back far enough in galactic history. So that's been neutralized, and they've been policed in ways that have kept them from doing more diabolical things here. What you're seeing on Earth today is the effects of the implantation process on the hidden leaders here, royalty, elitist groups. You first get control of them, then you get them to control the elected people, then you get the elected people to control the people. That's how tyrants really work. They don't come to other planets and blow all the infrastructure up. They want to keep the people working so that resources can be shipped off-world secretly under a classified program, just to get their older technology.
Okay.
And you can see where this is going.
Well, I guess I can. They have thus far prevented nuclear warfare, which is good. I do worry about coming Earth changes. I mean, all around us right now, Scott, we see a lot of Earth changes, the warming of the planet, the wild weather. It's all headed in a pretty bad direction pretty quickly, and a looming pole shift. I guess we're overdue for a pole shift. So if you know anything about that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Pole shift will not happen.
One of the things the Sayres have done,
really?
They've suspended the polar flips of this planet permanently.
Really?
Really. And they have the technology and the ability to do it. And there are spiritual beings beyond them that are their mentors, that are in harmony with this. So, you know, the reason the poles flip psychically goes back in galactic history in our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be stopped. And they have the ability to do that.
And you're saying they have stopped it. And why are they doing all this for us?
Well, they're preparing people to go through a transformation, and that transformation is simply one of recalling who they are, how they got here, and what their real destiny really is as beings. That's a big thing. To do that on a planet like this, I'll go back a little bit in planetary history about the way tyrant extraterrestrial races work, particularly one I know of, and the mentors behind them that controlled them that were defeated and sent back into the parallel dimension they came from and locked there. They can't come back. So what's been running now for 500,000 years is an automatic subconscious terrorizing program in the reptilian race and other races that were left in them. And the only way you could have, before a few years ago, that you could have prevented this or stopped it is to go to war and defeat them again. The problem with that approach is very simple. When they come to a planet under treaty and establish some diplomatic ties here, which they're allowed to do, they always bring a particular one device
I missed a little bit of that. They bring what?
They bring a device with them that is capable of destroying a planet from the inside out. They blow it apart. If they're kicked off by force, they would annihilate this place on their way out. So that's one thing. And how to solve that, neutralize that device, and solve the tyrant issue out there in the galaxy on their world systems and their fleets, and do it without death and destruction. That was...
I just lost you again for a moment. Do you have call waiting?
Yeah, it's somebody. I'm going to just have to ignore it.
Okay.
It's probably an advertisement, some silly thing. Anyway, to do it, you have to set up your alliances with beings that have the spirituality and technology to bring a kind of a change like this to Earth in a safe, non-destructive manner. They're not fully manifested here. They're not quite ready, or you wouldn't have terrorism still going on in little pockets. They're not yet to neutralize all that, but they're preparing for that.
Okay.
So, okay, that's important to know. The things that you see happening now in little skirmishes and warfares in the Middle East and all of that, they're not really in a position to stop all that yet, so people are kind of on their own here, but that's not going to last that way forever. The way to bring about a change on a planetary scale for an entire world, well, this kind of thing they're planning was never done before. So you said something earlier that was really important about the importance of this planet. There are people here who don't remember who they are. They're important to people out there that they've lost sometimes millions of years ago, goes back into this implantation process and how they ended up here reincarnating, not remembering anything.
All right, so we've got, I'm trying to get the big picture. We've got races here that are good. We've got races here that are bad. The rays are one of the better, but there's some bad guys here. And you apparently believe they have bases here on Earth, yes?
Yes, they do.
Where?
The reptilian, you know? Races, yes, they have two bases, primary bases, and they're being policed. Now, they can't do the diabolical stuff they were doing. That's all I can tell you right now. The thing you're seeing in the world now is the effect of what they've done to hidden leaders, and they're just carrying out stuff, not in control of what they're doing. I don't get angry at this, the government that lies to us or the hidden leaders behind them, because I know what was done to them, and they are not in control of what they're doing. That has to change, or they wouldn't do it.
You're talking about our world leaders have implants.
Yes.
They're not in control of what they're doing.
No, they're not.
Very interesting.
No, or they wouldn't do it. So, you know, that's got to change, and it's got to be done in a way that will not be, for the most part, non-destructive. No polar shift. How do you free people from something they don't even know they have? Well, you're not going to do that unless you first neutralize in a benevolent way the tyrants who are promoting that.
Mm-hmm.
So the solving the problem of this planet is not about this planet. It's a bigger issue, and it's out there in our galaxy. It has to be solved there first before it can be solved here. And that's what's underway. So you're not going to see these abductions that you used to see and this kind of terrible stuff. I think there's over 6 million human beings missing from this planet right now.
How many?
6 million.
Yeah, I guess in a planet of almost 7 billion, that might be true.
Yeah, but what was done to them, you wouldn't want to know about it.
Well, I do, actually. What was done to them?
Well, let's just say they're probably most of them are not alive anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so, but that kind of thing has been stopped, and that's why you're not seeing the massive flights of things over the planet. You're seeing some craft fly around, an anti-gravity craft that are reverse engineered, part of the secret space program here. But they can't go outside the solar system, Art. They're actually policed. If you know.
When you say that we have a secret space program, do you mean that we, as in the U.S., Russia, whatever?
Right, correct. And it's been operating on bases on the backside of the moon. The moon doesn't rotate on its axis,
right.
So you can hide things there very easily.
That's true.
And when you classify something, think about it, National Security Act Truman. You get a space program called NASA. That's the public PR program that only went into orbit to supply a space station.
Gotcha.
Never went anywhere else except the Apollo missions, which went to the moon.
Right.
And as you know, some of the Apollo astronauts before they died, I think there's still one living, talked about the fact that CIA had clamped them down, and they always saw a ship of an extraterrestrial origin tracking them to and from the moon.
They did, right?
Yeah.
I know. Statements have been made.
So, and they have a base on Mars. There's a space station, a big one, orbiting Mars with a U.S. flag on it right now. They've been traveling outside of this classified program, reverse engineering technology. Some of it was given directly to them. But they haven't been allowed to really play in the stars, and there's one reason for that. This whole classified hidden government nonsense, for the most part outside of tyrant races, does not exist out there. And all those worlds and all those resources are already occupied. So there isn't any way a hidden government's going to go out there and plant an American flag or some other flag on there and loot their resources. It's just never going to happen.
So you're saying any leader that we think we've elected has just been a ruse. The whole election has been a ruse because they are controlled either once elected or even prior to election?
Generally, sometimes prior, generally right after they're sworn in. There are handlers that wear a device on their belt. You push a button and it implants their subconscious. And these are terrorizing images. They're artificial, but it drives their decision-making the direction they want them to go.
Well, again, you know, the Earth is really in a mess right now. When aren't we in a mess, right? We're in a big mess with ISIS and all the trouble going on in the Middle East, and we're getting close to some sort of dispute between Russia and NATO. That would be incredibly dangerous. But you're saying, oh, no, don't worry. They're going to not let this happen, right?
No, I'm very unconcerned about the future destiny of this planet now because of what I know. I'm not concerned about a nuclear war. I'm not concerned about ISIS getting to some point. You know, that's all going to end. You're going to see that happen. I can tell you it's underway. I'm not in a position to tell people dates and times, and I wouldn't do it if I knew, because then people get fixated on dates and they don't do any growth. They don't change. They don't do anything to liberate themselves, and that's important.
That is true. I mean, if they actually bought...
has to be involved.
Yeah, if they actually bought that there was a date that it was all going to change or end or whatever, you're right.
Yeah.
It would stop people.
It never happens. Those dates never come true that way.
So you're going public with all of this. Why?
Because it's why I've been prepared to do what I'm doing in harmony with them.
Well, they must either... they're allowing you to do this, or
let's put it this way: I'm not concerned about black ops people coming to my door, or monitoring my phone, or coming to my house at all.
Because
they can't. Because it's not. I'm going to share with you later something, and I was really excited to get on the show because I want to share with you, particularly with what you're telling me is going on around your house there.
Yes.
We're going to get to how you're going to be safe and protected and neutralized.
It's the misbehavior of crazy people. The world is full of it.
They could think that what you're saying is anti-Bible. Could be one of those people.
Yeah, I know. I thought all this. Something I said, something...
unlikely, I can tell you right now, that whatever that is not black ops operated from the government.
Oh, I would doubt that. I've got my money on somebody totally whacked out. Stay right where you are. Okay, so my guest is Scott Limmery, and he's talking about the Say Rays. And they apparently began it all. What we're going to do in a bit is open line. Stay right there.
Midnight in the Desert. To call the show, if you're east of midnight, call 1-952. Call Art. If you're west of midnight, call 1-952-225-5278.
That's right. That's the national number. There are a number of ways you can join the conversation with us. Scott Limmerl. Never get that last name right. Limmerl is with us. Scott is talking about Desiree's. This is one of many, many, many groups, if I'm getting all this correctly, that's sort of competing for our attention. That's not really the right word, is it? Anyway, we're part of a treaty that in some ways protects us, but I don't know. He just said it's not worth the paper it's printed on, so I'm not sure where we are in all of this right now. In fact, that's a really good question. Let me go ahead and get the rest of this out. If you want to contact us, we have a first-time caller line, and that number is area code 775-285-5800. If you can ask a question about this that'll clarify everything, come on ahead. 775-285-5800, or, of course, on Skype. You can call internationally by putting in MITD 55 North America, MITD 51, and it's a free call on Skype. So we are going to get to calls here shortly, Scott, but I want to understand that there's a treaty, but then again, you say it's not worth the paper it's printed on, right?
Well, benevolent beings honor it. Malevolent ones do not.
Well, then it really isn't worth the paper it's printed on.
Right, because that means it's all coming to a head, which means the treaty, which never really kept tyrants from infiltrating and trying to get control of planets and people for resources, really, who are not respecters of human beings because they're driven subconsciously to behave that way, goes back in galactic history 500,000 years.
All right. If you were to sum up the Seyre's agenda for Earth, what would you say it is?
The uplifting, unexpected transformation of all life on this planet. It's a very big undertaking. The logistics of such an operation are beyond the scope of most people's comprehension. Quite literally. In other words, they don't allow nuclear war to go on here because, frankly speaking, if such a war took place, it would affect hundreds of billions of sentient beings in parallel dimensions on other world systems if that occurred here. And that is not something they will allow under any circumstances because 7 billion people unconsciously on this planet in certain ways don't have the right to annihilate themselves and affect that many other races.
No, if that's true. If we live in a multi-dimensional setup, I can understand that a nuclear all-out conflict could, I suppose, spill over into those dimensions and do who knows what.
Exactly. Because Earth is also important because there is a geometric grid work of portals in the atmosphere or under the ocean and on land that lead to other places in the galaxy. A tyrant race getting a hold of those would love to do that, but that's being carefully guarded. They're not going to make that happen.
I would like a map of that myself.
Yeah. I can give you some examples of where they are.
Okay, please do.
That I have personal experience with. There's one above the caldera, above Mount Shasta, in the atmosphere.
All right.
There's one above the volcano in Hawaii on the Big Island. Bermuda Triangle. In Africa, in various places, the Caucasus Mountains, there's a whole South Pole, North Pole, whole group of them that beings and master teachers guard from tyrants.
And I was going to say, these are all pretty inaccessible from my point of view. Nothing in Pasadena, huh?
No, not really. But it's a good thing they are guarded very carefully because that's the first thing tyrants would try to get a hold of. They, you know, races that travel amongst the stars that go what we call much faster than the speed of light do so by going through naturally occurring openings between different rates of vibration.
That makes sense.
That were put into creation long ago. The Seyre's, gee, I don't even think they had a hand in that one. But in other words, when people developed anti-gravity capabilities on other worlds long ago, they first lost some pilots because it would change the molecular time rate of the molecules in the craft, and it would simply shift to a different frequency and disappear. People have seen craft appear and disappear all the time. They're just changing their frequency. They're still there, but they've moved it to a frequency you can't see or hear.
Okay, so just so I understand, the good guys and the bad guys both have bases here.
They do. The bases for the bad guys are pretty much you might say, on house arrest. They're not allowed to do a lot of what they used to do, and they're being kind of kept in the solar system. They want to go home. They have to be changed a little bit before they're sent back because they want that influence to change everything else out there. So you've got a secret space program that we are in that cannot go outside the solar system. So that future of this whole system of this planet, the way it's run now, the monetary system, the classified system, thinking it's going to go out into space and stay that way, keeping the people in the dark, and then go dominate other worlds is never going to happen. There's no future there. So that means that this whole thing that we, you know, people think we're powerless to change, maybe people on Earth are. The people outside of here certainly are not powerless to change it if they have the will to do so. They have to have a conscious reason to involve themselves here. Okay. When they woke up to more of the fact that people here were long-lost friends of long ago who were imprisoned here, that got their interest up a great deal. The Sayers is responsible for a lot of that.
All right, here's a really good question for you. We have this whole history that we don't know about. We have this whole set of lives that we don't know about that have occurred before the present life we now have. And presumably they are keeping us from remembering all of this.
Right. Correct.
And they're doing this how? I mean, we don't all have implants, right?
They reinforce the stimulation of implants to play on people's nervous system to keep them afraid of finding out deeper truth through the satellite system. That's the same system we're running through for this radio show. But if you haven't noticed, this is important that I bring this up. If the timers were really in control right now, they would shut this program down or close off this phone. And they can't do it, Art.
Wow.
They can't.
Hopefully.
And they're not going to.
Right.
There's a protection around this show, especially tonight. But that's going to go. It's going to go on from here for you after tonight.
Keep me in the treaty, please.
Because you need some help, and you're going to need help from off-world. Because people on Earth, where are you going to turn to anybody on Earth that can really keep you from, you know, can oversee things that are about to be done or attempt and stop it before you even know it happened?
Well, I know it sounds crude, but people with guns comes to mind.
Right. Well, we're going to be sharing a little bit about a primordial sacred, I want to call it sacred, that would get into religious area, because they don't think that way off world.
No?
It's a spiritual, let's use the word spiritual. People don't take it psychically, because that's not what I'm referring to. There is a primordial, connective, vibratory word that was brought into existence when the beginning of all the galaxies and multi-dimensions were created. And it connects everything together in every one. It's an omnipresent force that supports and sustains all life, good and bad, and everything in between.
And that word is?
Hu.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Yeah, but you've got to understand one thing about it. That did not originate on this planet. It wasn't created by any group here. It's not owned or patented or copyrighted by any group on this planet. And they wouldn't dare. That's the one thing that no one owns, because they didn't create it. Beings from other worlds use this to keep from ever acquiring a subconscious mind. When you begin to work with it, with your family, and effectively in your present situation, people from off-world who are pure, they don't have subconscious mind, they're loving, they're kind, wise, hear that. They tune into it. And it is something that I never, ever ask anybody to take my word for this, and I would never do that. But when I share it, I ask them to work with it and explore it a little bit, because the real principle of the use of it is for you to have your own direct experiences of awakening to all the stuff I reveal in the Sayers Agenda book for yourself. It doesn't do me any good to get on a radio show and talk about this stuff if I don't have a way to help people access it.
No, there is that. Scott, I want you to take a few calls. How about that?
Sure, you bet.
Okay, let's give it a try. Trish, you're on the air with Scott. Hi.
Hello there, Art. How are you doing?
Well, okay.
We've been worried about you. We're just hoping everything's going to go okay with you and you don't get discouraged or anything.
No.
Good.
No, angry is more like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's up?
Okay, well, maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but when you asked him the question, where are the reptilian bases?
Yes.
He kind of skirted around that and didn't answer that question. And you're keeping me up late. I'm supposed to be getting up early in the morning.
Okay, so we can't have this. Where are the reptilian bases?
One is in the deep jungle in the Congo, and the other one is deep in the Amazon, underground.
Okay, so they're in the rainforest, actually, and that right. probably means they're in great danger.
Well, so, they like the hot, humid climate.
Uh-huh. There you have it, Trish, in the middle of the jungle.
That's very, very interesting subject tonight, and it's the kind of thing that I like to hear, and it keeps me up, and I can't sleep, and I have to listen to it. But anyway, it's really been a good show so far, and thanks for taking my call.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Take care. Okay, so, yes, deep in the jungles, they are in danger indeed. Okay, on the phone very quickly, hello, you're on the air with Scott.
Would that be me?
That would be you.
I'm Jerry, Los Angeles.
Okay, Jerry.
And I am an older guy. I've been involved in these things for about 60 years, and I've had quite a few experiences over those years. And I can cover quite a few of I agree with Scott and you, Art, on these subjects. I, too, have been dealing with the stingrays.
Really?
And most recently, let's go back 3 years or so ago, my first contact was with Sen La, stingray. She's about 18 feet tall. And she, in turn, introduced me to ones they call Silent Ones. They're very special workers. And then I eventually met Torellian. And to confirm...
Scott, Scott, are any of these names familiar to you?
Yes.
They are, okay.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I never heard of Sayrays until tonight. And here's a caller who knows all about it.
Well, yes, and other things as well, Art, if I may.
You may, for a bit.
There's different terms. I project... and different things. I've had very good physical experiences with ETs and others, but most of my and more recent experiences are by projecting other dimensions, however you want to term it, or by locating or whatever. About 3 years ago, I was speaking with a Nordic that's aboard the New Jerusalem, and he's a very highly evolved person. And I mentioned Torellian, and he was very surprised. Jerry, you know Torellian? And just adding to some of the things that Scott is talking about, I know it to be true. I can't prove it, but I know it. And I know 5 lifetimes ago, I was a Peshat.
Now, how do you know this? Because supposedly all of this memory of whatever we were has been wiped.
Anyway, I was on Nibiru, and my friends there still visit me today. The only reason I say this thing is not for glorification. I don't need any accolade. I'm just saying it's true. A lot of the stuff, I don't talk about it usually because people think I'm nuts.
Uh-huh.
They have no idea what I'm – but I am telling you from my heart of heart.
Okay, I believe you. I believe that you believe it. And, Scott, you must run into this all the time. When you start talking about this sort of thing, people, they think you're nuts, right?
Yeah, I'm a little more discerning about that and who I talk with. And, of course, when I get on a radio show, I'm going to just spill the beans.
Sure.
I'm going to put it out there because it's for their benefit that I'm doing it.
Oh, I do get that. But... Really, a lot of this stuff...
At conferences, I don't have the problem because people that go to a UFO conference are generally geared up to hear
yes.
and to listen anyway.
That is true. And a lot of them, if not all of them, believe that there are many races on Earth and or visiting us or having to do with our progress or lack of it.
Yeah, good and bad. Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's go to Salt Lake on the phone. You're on the air with Scott. Hi.
Good evening, Mr. Lemrio, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
Good evening. Question slash comment, more of a question. I believe that like the NSA and the CIA, et cetera, that these beings don't need implants anymore. Implants have kind of become obsolete, as a lot of electronic devices do. They use people, once they acquire people's DNA, they can enter people's minds using the electronic existing things like microwave dishes, et cetera, to transmit and receive from people. And I'd just like to also talk on the comment you said about love being stronger and compassion. That's all. Do you believe that they use DNA more than implants nowadays?
You're asking me? Yeah. You know, the experimentation with DNA to shut down the DNA is more of what you're referring to, like a telepathic function or a photographic memory function or living 1,000 years. You shut those down in people, they appear to live normal lives, but what I'm sharing with you tonight is that's not really normal. They use implants to control people because once they're implanted, people generally think they're making up their own minds. But if you look at the condition of this world and the way it's been run by elected people, it's not being run with any rationale. It's not being freedom of thinking. And it's because of the implantation process and how those work and how they're put into people without their awareness or consent.
Mm-hmm.
This is old technology in the universe. It's misused technology, for sure. And the process is underway now to get that reversed. That's very important.
Okay. On Skype, you're on the air with Scott. Hello.
Good evening, Art. Hello, Scott.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm calling up from a little hamlet in Canada where my girlfriend, bride-to-be, does a little bit of sort of past life regression and dream searing and the like. And she's actually been interested in this topic of extraterrestrial contact for some time. And she's been probing the minds of all sorts of people from all walks of life, being in Canada, a very diverse place. We get people from the mountains and the volcanoes of Hawaii all the way to the Caucasus and the Ural Mountains. And going through all of their dreams, she's never been able to find anything about these aliens. So I have to ask you, Scott, do you have a single fact to back any of this up? Like, where's the proof, my friend? Where's the proof?
Yeah. Here's what I say to that, and it's a very good question, and I know how to deal with that because I'm very honest about it. The book I wrote, The Sayers Agenda, has this final fourth edition, has a very special, extensive technique section in the back that is designed so that when you read the story, you go through the book of the adventures of Carter go through to wake up on Earth to who they were and what they once knew that they were suppressed from knowing and how that was done, which is done off-world. You find out that their journey, I guess the best way to put it is what I'm going to share a little later on the program. If you stay listening, I will share with Art and everybody what I use and how I do it.
Scott, what he asked for is proof.
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Okay, please.
Here's an example I'll use. If I had all the classified documents that are in the Pentagon about extraterrestrials, secret space program, what went on, who did what with what, where, on the moon and on Mars, and I laid them out for Art Bell or you,
yes,
they wouldn't do anybody any good because, number one, you couldn't prove they were authentic. Number two, you weren't there to experience. So how do you know any of it's true?
Okay, I appreciate the answer. I have to say, you would make an absolutely fantastic lawyer or politician. Thank you, Art, for having me on. God bless.
Yeah, okay, take care. That's not an answer that pleased anybody, Scott. And, look, I understand this information has been, I guess, imparted to you, and you're imparting it to all of us. But, you know, when people ask for proof, you would think that if the Sayers want us to know that all of this is true, and they're using you as either an ambassador, as you once were, apparently, or a present-time messenger, they would give you, I don't know, something that you could lay out so that what you, you know, say would really take with people. You know, proof.
Yeah,
proof.
We're getting to that.
I hope.
And he got a little anxious and got off before I could
Well, I'm still here, so be my guest. So
here's the answer.
Yes.
Remember I was telling you about a primordial connective word that when you do it or send it out at a tone of your, a comfortable tone of your choosing, you will notice that when you do it, it vibrates the cranium or the head upward only.
Is that you?
Yes. If you remember the old Om that came out of India so many ago, Om.
Om, yes.
And when you do that, it vibrates the throat and chest area. People need to experience this for themselves. But when you do the hue, it vibrates basically the pineal gland, the center of the brain, upward.
Okay.
That's number one.
Hue.
Well, it's like hue.
So, emphasis on the hue.
On a long, drawn-out tone.
Okay, got it.
You set up a connective frequency.
And then what? What happens?
Have the capability to
Let's say we who and who and who. Then what?
The best way to go about exploring deliberately hidden truth for yourself, which is for your listeners and you and anyone else, to have their own direct experiences about what I talk about is the reason I'm on the show.
All right.
I want people to have their own direct experiences about what's revealed in that book.
And they do this by hewing.
Yes. And you can, here's the other thing, there's a protection that comes with this that each individual needs to experience for themselves. Taking my word for it is not what I want anybody to do, including the gentleman that just called. That I don't want. But I would like them to try this in the privacy and sanctity of their own home, get comfortable somewhere, take some deep breaths, and the first prerequisite is imagine someone or something you love. It can be a person, place, or thing. But the vibration of love towards all life is really essential in that process, because when you're here, you're going to be connecting into the greater life that is beyond this planet, that is benevolent.
Okay.
Doing the hue cannot connect to anything of a negative nature.
And if you hoo away and nothing happens, in other words, that caller was asking you for any tidbit of, you know, proof. I mean, it seems to me it would be reasonable for you to go to the Sayrays and say, give me something that I can produce for the world that will cause me to be listened to beyond the who thing.
Yeah, well, it's hue, not who.
Hue.
And this is something that beings work with in higher dimensions and other worlds to keep clear, to keep from ever acquiring anything subconscious. Remember I mentioned earlier that a normal human being does not have a subconscious mind?
Yes.
The hue connects to the core of what you are, the Atma or soul, and begins to bring the awareness of that to the surface of your conscious self. That process, once it's begun, is irreversible, because it's for your benefit.
All right, but to really get mankind motivated, to really get mankind moving on to the agenda that obviously you're talking about, I don't know, producing a ship over L.A.?
Well, you guys hang in there. You know, stuff's going to happen. We're all in for a heck of a ride, I can tell you that.
Any idea when that begins?
If I knew exact dates, I wouldn't divulge them, because it would deprive people of having the very thing I'm on the show to do, to help them connect with how to go about having these experiences for themselves and to connect with beings who can help them do that. If I just tell you information or put a document on your desk, it really doesn't do you any good because you didn't have the experience.
Well, a document wouldn't convince me anyway.
I don't care
what it was. It wouldn't
do it. So many people are looking for a smoking gun.
I want something big. I want a big ship appearing. I want something that backs up this. I mean, this is big talk, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to experience connection with beings from other worlds, you can certainly have that experience if you're prepared for it. Because one thing you don't want to, if a ship landed in your property, say tonight or tomorrow.
Well, as of late, it wouldn't surprise me.
Then they got off the ship and walked up to you, and they had a high vibration, but the implants in you would freak you out. You'd be terrorized because of what you don't know is there. They know that. So they want to help people get prepared to be able to accept an invitation to go aboard if it's offered. You think you might just get right on, but you'd be surprised.
All right. Very quickly, to the phone, you're on the air with Scott. Hello. Going once.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hello?
Yes.
My question is, where does God fit in?
Oh, good question, actually. And I have a feeling you're not going to like the answer.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
What beings on other worlds call, what we would call the supreme being, they call prime creator.
Okay, so God is...
God fits into it because every single atom, every single being, you, Art, myself, the caller, what your real shape is in the image of God is spherical energy. It's not physical. It's spherical in nature, and it has a shape and structure, and it can move around the universe. We do it. When people die, they leave their body and go somewhere else and come back, and this is the true nature of life. And it's made of exactly the same energy as what people call the supreme being, identical in every way, on a much smaller scale. When people learn how to plug that self, their real self, into that omnipresent energy, that communication is unmistakable. People begin to remember much that they have been made to forget about God and about who they are.
When we die, do we know the people that's already passed on?
Excuse me?
When we die, will we know, like, say, my son has passed away? Will I know him when I die?
Yes, certainly. Because he's not dead.
I like the answer.
Well, I didn't think you were going to like it. I had a feeling that the Seres were themselves to us as gods.
They don't play the god card.
Okay.
Well, thank you
for
the call. They
don't set themselves up. Okay.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
They won't set themselves up that way. No.
Okay.
As tall as they are, no.
You know, Scott, I'm not trying to be mean to you. It's just that other than you, there is I'm the kind of person, I'm a hands-on person. I want proof.
I want proof.
And, you know, I might even be willing to give the Hugh thing a try.
Okay, here's what I would suggest. You know the situation you're having with this intruder?
Yes, yes.
Okay, this is a practical situation. You want proof, but the proof needs to be your experience, not mine.
All right, the proof is going to have to wait. Hold tight. We're at a break. Scott Limrio is my guest, and he's talking about a race of beings, the Say Rays.
A dialogue sequence with Art Bell. Please coordinate your phalanges and call 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
All right. My guest is Scott Limrio, and he's talking about the Say Rays, a group that he's talked to that I've never heard of. Now, as I sort of, you know, I try to be polite to all my guests, and as I listen to what he's saying, I hear, you know, small snippets of things that I think I understand. For example, reincarnation. I'm certainly, absolutely flirting with that. Out-of-body experiences. I understand those. But when you get to things like galactic wars between races, and I've heard, of course, all of this before, and you get to these critical things that we're talking about, the stoppage of nuclear conflict and all that, and then some of the physical things that he's been talking about, like polar shifts and so forth and so on, and you start preaching all of this, it begins to sound, frankly, to some of my listeners, like Scientology, and they're asking that. It sounds like some sort of affiliation. It sounds like Scientology on steroids, frankly.
No, I don't have any affiliation with any of that.
Have people asked you about that before?
No.
No?
And I don't have any association with that group whatsoever.
Okay. So if I were in your position, Scott, if I were talking to an alien race that was telling me all the things they have told you and shown you, I would be very hesitant to go out and proselytize for them until I had some kind of actual something, proof of something, you know, that the caller asked for. I'm kind of with the caller.
Yeah, well, I understand that completely. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Well, except that you can't supply it.
Well, I can.
Okay, go ahead.
In fact, I want to supply you with something and show you how to do it.
Rather than covering my personal situation, please just give us some proof.
Okay.
Okay.
The only way that I can do that is to provide the way for people to have it for themselves. Isn't that what they're after? My saying something isn't going to do that. What could I say to anybody? What could any human being...
Okay, here is what I would say. Can't you go back to the Say Rays and say, look, I'm working with a lot of skeptical people here, a very skeptical audience. I need some kind of physical proof and have them give it to you. Why not?
Yeah.
They want this information out, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if they really want it out, then you,
though, Art,
I'm saying you should press them for information, some proof.
What I'm doing, why I'm on this show,
yes,
is to help you and other people discover for yourself, with how I'm going to share it, if you allow it, how they can directly connect to having that proof for themselves.
Well, you've got to take me past.
What would you say? Have me go to the series and say, bring a big ship down.
Sure.
In Washington.
Yes, that'd be good. Or show us how you control people, or do something, anything to help us believe beyond you.
Well, that's coming. You'll experience it in your lifetime. That's for sure. So I'm not the one who calls the shots on people being picked up in a crowd.
I get that.
No, I wouldn't claim that. I mean, I'm in touch with such people. If they're going to make that decision, they're extremely careful, from my experience with them, in dealing with the sanctity of an individual not to imbalance their life here, which means people need to be a little prepared for such experiences, or it will really shock them and imbalance their life because of what's in their subconscious still. They know how this stuff works, and they know how to neutralize it. For instance, if one was to come to you, say out where you live, they have a little device that can shut down the effect of implants on a person so your true nature can make the right decision in, say, going further to learn more about this.
All right. All right.
Because I've been through it.
All right. Scott's on Skype. Do you have a question, Scott?
Yeah, in fact, I agree totally with what you just been saying. I want somebody with a signpost. Otherwise, you're just asking us to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it is kind of like that, actually.
Do you want me to share with all of your audience and you how to go about this?
I don't even like Kool-Aid.
I want a point in place.
Yeah, in other words...
Enough of me sitting here
meditating.
I want physical proof like... Art was saying,
it's time
you put up or shut up.
With that physical proof, well, he hasn't received it yet. Scott hasn't received it yet. Okay, fine. I'm saying go to these Say Rays you talk about and tell them in order to properly explain to the people that are listening to what you're saying, you need some kind of proof, something you can lay out for them. It's a reasonable request, Scott.
The first thing that's going to happen for your listeners and you, I can say from my own experience, they're going to have experiences when they leave their body at night first, because they all do, even if they don't remember what it is they did when they come back in the morning.
Well, see, again, you're going to perhaps a reasonable area to explain the extraordinary. And you're giving us the extraordinary, but saying, well, leave your body. Yeah, people... I think probably can leave their bodies. That's something humans probably can do. But that doesn't prove the galactic...
No, they don't bring back the awareness of it. That's part of the implants. Most people don't.
Scott?
Bring back much of it.
Well, that just points out that you don't have the proof, sir. I mean, if nothing else, we missed the doctor who could take those implants out. I think he passed away not long ago. And before
people on Earth are not capable of removing implants themselves. That's the problem.
Well, there have been some removed. There have been some removed.
Well, and do you know any people that have had those removed that can come to you and tell you what they're like now that they're gone?
Well, do you have any people that have had near-death experiences that come back and tell you where they've been?
All you're
giving me is witchcraft.
No, I don't dabble in any of that nonsense. That's not where I'm coming from.
No, you've got a whole different sense of nonsense.
Well, that's because you want it handed to you on a silver platter. You don't want to do anything to get it.
No, I think he would accept, and I would accept, any bit of real, actual proof, and then you'd really have our ears. And so I'm trying to say to you, go to the Say Rays. You say you talk to them. You say you communicate telepathically with them, correct?
Right, correct.
Well, send them a message that you need something that you can lay out.
Do you really believe that they weren't listening the whole time this show was taking place?
For all I know, they are.
Do they have Wi-Fi?
So they don't need it.
Yeah, let's assume they don't need it. All right, and let's assume they're listening right now. Yo, Say Rays, we need proof.
They hear you.
And what do they say?
After the weekend.
Hold on to your seats. You want the proof? You're going to get it, but you're going to be prepared for it, too. It's not a... You got to show some courage and some willingness to advance. You can't just have it handed to you.
Well, you know, I know a guy a few years back who said a lot of the same things and then fed everybody a whole bunch of Kool-Aid.
I don't know anything about who you dealt with in the past. I have no knowledge of that.
Well, you remember what happened down in Africa, the group down in Africa and the Kool-Aid? You do, right?
No, you're talking about some guy that killed
Jim everybody. Jones was his name.
What's that got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. You're almost.
This guy really doesn't get it.
He's almost, you know, preaching a religion, right? It's almost a religion. It's the galaxy.
I just want to ask you, do you want to debate this, or do you want me to share with you how to do it?
No, I want you to show me.
Yeah.
Oh, you, okay. Then you're not open to finding this out for yourself, for your own experience.
I'm not taking your Kool-Aid.
Oy vey.
Well.
All right. Thank you for the call. And I must say, I'm in agreement. I did listen very politely, Scott, and probed, you know, what you had to say. But I just...
If you sit with your family and tonight or tomorrow morning and send out the hue like this.
I got that earlier.
And send this out safely, this statement, safely show me purposefully hidden truth on a grand multidimensional scale.
Yeah.
And the much greater knowing of the expansive love within it. And if you do that sincerely, and you send that hue out to this intruder that's been bothering you, they will go away. And it will be your experience.
All right. Up to Anchorage, Alaska on the phone. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I hope that's me.
That's you.
I'm in Anchorage anyway. Yeah, I have a kind of a comment. I sort of get what Scott's talking about, and it's interesting. I've been involved for a number of years with a spiritual growth organization in which the hue tone is one of the primary chants that we use for meditation.
Yes, ma'am. I've heard this many times, and I'm familiar with it also. It's just that he's laid out some fantastic stuff here. And
right.
Other than trying to have this hue experience, there's nothing else to back it up. And I'm just saying, why not go to these Say Rays and tell them, look, I need your help here.
They've heard you.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying to Scott, and I understand that. And I'm just curious because I've never heard of what the book or the Say Rays or what Scott's talking about. And so I just thought it was interesting that I've been taught that Hu is an ancient Sanskrit word for the name, one of the names of God.
Right.
So, you know, I can understand why there might be a connection. And, you know, I have not had the experience that Scott's talking about chanting Hu, but I have had experiences that have been meaningful and important in my personal growth. So, you know, maybe it's just a matter of, you know, let's consider it from a spiritual perspective. Maybe it's not about proof as much as it's about faith and working it for yourself. I don't know.
Right, I know. But without proof, it's hubris.
Anyway,
thank you for the call very much. And here's somebody named Steve. Hi, Steve, on Skype.
Hey, Art. I'm calling in because, I mean, this guy, he sounds very interesting, but why does he keep dancing around when you're asking him for proof?
Because he doesn't have it.
He doesn't really answer the questions that they pose.
He doesn't have it. He doesn't have proof.
You guys are expecting me to have a spaceship land in front of you while we're talking on the show. Is that what you're after?
That would be fantastic.
He's telling us to go out and, like, hum in the dawn. I mean, honestly, with your intruder problem, what you need is a good security system,
maybe a couple security guards, maybe some old tired military personnel like myself.
You don't need some weird third dimensional or fourth dimensional creature who may or may not exist.
I'm willing, sir. Nothing like he's talking about. Listen to me for a second. I'm willing to accept the fantastic. That's what this show is all about, examining the possibility of the fantastic. And I'm willing to accept it. I just want some kind of proof, something that says, hey, look, this is real.
If you begin to send out the Hu under your own efforts, of your own will, you'll get that proof. There isn't any other way I know of.
I don't buy it.
I can't command these guys to come down and pick you up because you're what you are, the way you are. It's not my prerogative.
It's your job, if you're really some kind of ambassador, in my opinion, if you want to move all this forward, you're going to have to get past Hu into something solid that people can look at and believe.
I have no problem with why I'm on the show, Art.
But why not go to them and try and get it?
We've been talking about that the whole show, haven't we?
They've
been listening. They hear.
Okay.
They want to give you the proof you're looking for. That's up to them.
Well, Steve,
I don't command them.
Okay,
Steve. I don't pretend to command them.
Out of curiosity, Steve, what would satisfy you?
Honestly, you know, maybe some kind of a video. I mean, they got all these higher advanced, you know, powers and everything. I mean, heck, they could figure out how to use Skype and call into your show, you know, and even video chat.
Or how about a worldwide...
to your door, knock on it, and say, you know, hey, let's do an interview. I mean, we got to do something. Maybe show up at the White House and interview Obama. I don't care.
Don't come to my door. but how about a message worldwide on all communications media saying, we are the Say Rays, and we have news for
and
you.
That should be easy. I mean, look at the group Anonymous. They're able to hack the whole entire internet, and they're just a group of, you know, people in some basement somewhere. If there is a super intelligent alien race, they should be able to hack our satellite communications with no problem and blanket the Earth with a blanket statement very, very easily.
There you go. All right. Thank you. I agree with that.
I do too. If it happened, would you believe where it was coming from? How would you know it wasn't just your own government doing it?
You have a very good point there, actually. If it happened, somebody would say it was anonymous, probably.
So it has to be more than just some communication through the World Wide Web or TV channels. There has to be something that goes beyond what people see that will convince them.
You know,
because if they see that and hear that, how are they going to trust that? Where's the proof of that?
All right. Well, you have a point there, but if there was a worldwide something, I'm sure we'd blame it on everything and we'd have conspiracy theories about it. There'd be all that.
Each individual has to be connected in some way to where they know it's true.
All right, very quickly, cell phone somewhere, you're on the air.
Is that me?
That's you.
All right, Art Bell, I've listened to you for a very, very long time. I'm a scientist who ran a physics laboratory. And my father was in the space program since probably 1957. Anyway, in the 60s, he told me very hush-hush about Roswell and the things that happened there, but he never talked about that again, and I read everything there was to read and never could come up with anything. And then people said I should listen to your show much later. And then, of course, you brought on the people who broke that story wide open.
All right. Well, listen, anyway, our show is ending. So if you have a question, real quick.
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to salute you. I'm so glad you're back on the air. I actually moved to Pahrump to be your neighbor, but you moved away. I've just been fascinated by what you do, and I want you to stay skeptical, okay? I like it better when you ask the hard questions.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you. And, look, Scott, I appreciate your coming on, but, again, please do me a favor, and if you honestly are communicating with these people, tell them you need their help. Tell them.
Oh, that's a done deal, Art. That's already considered that a done deal.
All right. When you get that, you come back here, and boy, will we talk. All right?
You have a deal. I want to thank you for having me on the show. I like the hard questions also, just so you know.
Well, I'm okay. Thank you very much, and take care. That's Scott Limrio. And I'm glad he likes the hard questions. I wish he had the hard answers. I've heard these kind of things for years, and people come along and say things that do resonate with people, out-of-body experiences, all kinds of mystical things that happen to people, and they really do happen to people, but they don't necessarily add up to a group of aliens called the Zayrays who have this grand bargain taking in, you know, everything, right? And we are all controlled. Our leaders are all implanted. And, you know, that's a pretty grand claim that requires grand evidence. Nevertheless, I appreciate his being here. Good night, all.
And there's wisdom in the air. I've been looking for the answers. All my life I felt you there. As the world we live in, are we heeding all the signs? Have we lost our intuition?